Ready down there?
Yes.
All right, welcome. It's 10 o'clock, July 15th, 26th. This is a regular work session for the Board of Unitas County Commissioners being held in a large conference room in the commission chambers. First order of business is TSG, NOPEC, seismic projected presentation by Royce Hammer. Welcome, Royce. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
I see you brought backup this time.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. This is Doug Moore. He's our project manager and geophysicist. And this is Dave Hillier. These are QHSE management. Both of them are my bosses, John, so I'm trying to do a good job.
We need to talk, gentlemen.
No. So we've upgraded our presentation, too. You're going to be proud of it.
Looking fancy.
Yeah, let me see if I can stumble through
it. Can you turn that mic on? They're kind of sensitive buttons.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
My wife tells me I mumble, so if I mumble, tell me.
I'll let you know.
Okay. So, are you ready, John?
Yeah.
All right. So we've already done the introduction there. I think the only thing that we like is just talking about the contractors involved in the program, which would be, I work for Cougar Land. Doug works for he's a consultant, works for TGS, and Dave works directly for TGS. And then we're going to have DAS, which is Discovery Acquisition Services, doing the surveying. And we'll have Dawson Geophysical doing the recording. Same group as last time that did the last survey. And then we're not sure we're going to have any drill holes yet, but if we do, it'll be extreme drilling. So those are the contractors that's involved in the project. Let me go to slide number 2. Okay. Kind of tells you about the project as a whole. We're here today to talk about 1C, which hooks up to the east side of 1A, which is a project we completed last year. And 1C is 95.31 square miles. We've already completed 1A. 1B is on the west side of 1A, with the northwest corner being Altamont, and I guess probably what's a good corner for the northeast side of 1B?
North.
Cedar View. Somewhere in there north of Cedar View. Altogether, it's 274 square miles. We're working on surveying now on both 1C and 1B, starting on the tribe lands with our surveying phase. Hopefully, we get this thing done by fall, winter, 26, 27. If everything goes well. I don't know that we've had any issues whatsoever with the roads on 1A or 1C, so that's good news. We're asking the county today, you know, for the same thing that we did last year, permit for the Gusher landfill, and then to be able to use the roads for our receivers and our fiber size operations. Progress on the permitting is going good. We got about 400 people signed and 1C there. Yeah, the color's different, Dave. Did I do that?
Well, no. It's just green. If you look up on the TV.
Okay. So the different colors just represent the status. The green's permitted. That light blue color is that's the tribe, and we're working on that now. It's kind of a different permit process. It's taking a long time, but we're working on that, and we intend to have that permit in place when we start recording operations. The yellow is people that we contacted, we're kind of working with. The red permits are permits that people did not want to permit, and that we either elected to go around that we didn't need them, or they just didn't want to participate. Let's see. We've got the city of Ballard permitted. We have the Duchesne County permitted. We're working on the UDOT permit. It's kind of a really short-term permit process, so we wait until almost recording operations to submit that permit for the highways. Got several water districts permitted. It's moving along really well. We look to be hopefully completed on our permitting in another 45, 60 days. Is that fair, Doug?
Hope so.
Okay. I'm going to drag you in just in case.
We'd give you 15 days, starting today.
You're done. We don't have step-up programs.
Okay, here we go. So this is a roadmap. We put this together. I brought a hard copy for Scott. I'll drop that off for him. He likes a hard copy. And also brought the commissioners an updated surface map as well. Get that to you guys right after the meeting. And I brought the permit for the Gusher landfill. Do I need to see Nathan on this or?
Matt? Do you mean Matt?
Or Nate.
The county attorney, I thought.
Oh, Nate. Oh.
That's him right there. Nate.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, it's a new name. We're getting used to it.
I'm guessing that Matt would look at it first and then send it on to us, but we're happy to take it.
Okay. I sent this through the website, you know, the UCC, so I was hoping maybe it got pushed on along, but if not, I bought a hard copy.
Okay.
It may have. I don't recall off the top of my head. I remember seeing something, but I don't remember what.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that. Okay. We can kind of chase it down and see.
Yeah, find out where we're at on it. The good news on that is we were able to, Mr. Hillier went out there and scouted the landfill carefully. So it's really easy for us to operate on. I don't see any issues at all out there. There was a cemetery that we'll have to avoid. But other than that, it won't be any impact at all.
All those washers and dryers in there aren't going to bother you, huh?
There is quite a bit of that out there. I guess people just continue dumping, huh?
Unfortunately, yeah. Yes.
So, but anyway, I wanted to make sure that gets in the system there. I'd emailed it, and along with the insurance, and of course the bond is still in place there with you guys. That's the roadmap. Let's see what the next slide is. This is kind of talking about the surveying phase of the project and how it works. The hazard survey basically is we send surveyors out to individual landowners' properties to locate their water wells, their houses, pipelines, all their infrastructure so that we can avoid any of the infrastructure with their operations. We do the same thing on the roads. The field parameters there, the sources are east and west, 825 feet. The lines are 825 feet apart, and in line, they're 165 feet. That's where our vibe buggies will operate. The receivers are north and south. The lines are 495 feet apart, and the intervals are the same, 165 feet. And that's where we'll place our small receivers, which are on the next slide. There. We got two types. Last time we had to use this one, which is, it's got three geophones that they kind of put out in a little triangle and a battery. This one is just an enclosed unit, so we like this one better. It's called a Pioneer unit. We're not exactly sure which ones we'll have, but either way, they're wireless systems, so we're not going to have to worry about it if they're in the county road and you guys got a mow. Let's see, next slide. That's our biber-sized buggies. That's what will move up and down the east-west lines at the 165 feet intervals. There'll be three of them in a row. These things weigh, depending on how they're outfitted, around anywhere from 62,000 to 65,000 pounds. And you can see the pads in the center. They articulate in the center. These are those the sand tires, Dave?
Yep.
Those are the sand tires. We have two different types of tires that we can use on them. One's more like a tractor tire, then the other one is like a sand tire. We really would like to see them use the tractor tire on the front and then the sand tire on the back, but I'm not sure that that's going to be an option because there's a cost involved. I think last time most of them were outfitted with the sand tires, and they were good. Oh, come on. Next slide. Here we go. This just shows some of the operations with the vibes. You can use them anywhere. They're designed to use in parking lots, roads, highways, of course, pastures. They're really a good way for energy source to be applied to a project like this. We like them because there's less impact and they're less expensive and they move fast. We can really get done in a hurry. So, I guess there'll be three of them in a row. Well, we have two sweeps. Yeah. So this time, when they put these pads on the ground, we'll have what they call a sweep. Sometimes they're 20 seconds or 30 seconds. So all three vibes will put the plate on the ground. and then they'll do their thing for 20 to 30 seconds. And they'll pick up, and they'll go to the next point. So it moves fast, particularly on the roads. We get on and off the roads really fast. They'll have traffic control and all that. Normally it's just one pass down the street and we're done. We'll provide the county, like we did last time, with a map of where they want to do the work, so you'll know exactly which roads they went on and which ones they didn't. So this just kind of gives you a comparison of the PSI on the Vibes on their tires. They're actually less than... This is a woman's heel. It's a fancy one, isn't it, with the spikes? I'm not sure what kind of girl would wear that, but anyway.
That's not your wife's.
That's not my wife's, no. Well, I guess it'd be good if they wanted to kick you in gear or something, but anyway, a woman walking in a heel like that applies 471 PSI to ground pressure, basically. And a one-ton truck, applies 37 PSI, ground pressure, to 50, depending on how it's loaded. And the Vibes are 46 PSI. 26. And then semi-trucks are 46, right? So they really, with the way the weight is distributed, they don't apply much pressure to the ground. Okay, this is some monitoring that we do. It's just a safety precaution, and also it's something that they do around houses, and a lot of times they do them in town. We have a lot of homes and a lot of infrastructure, but basically they set these devices up that monitors ground movement, and it keeps them from... The Vibes have different drives. They can turn the drive up and they can turn the drive down depending on what infrastructure they're near and how close they are to it. And these guys can monitor what they're doing, and they can actually shut the Vibe down if the energy's too much. And I guess the guidelines are based off 50 years of tests than the U.S. Bureau of Mines. We just don't cause damage anymore to structures. I mean, at one time, back when I first started this, I'm telling my age now, we were drilling hose and putting a large charge in the ground, and we had some issues. But the Viber size operations and the way they do the drilling now and the technology that they have, we just don't cause damage to structures or water wells or anything like that. We're very careful with that, which is good because we don't want problems. Now, there's been stuff happening. It's a big operation, so sometimes these Vibes will try to squeeze in a narrow gate. Maybe they knock the gate post off, or they break the gate post, or they bend the gate. So there's stuff like that that can happen that we address immediately. But as far as damaging the infrastructure and water wells and pipelines, we just don't do it anymore. Thank gosh. This is a little bit, this is just some information about TGS and the commitment to the communities and to the landowners and the stakeholders. I've witnessed it. I worked for TGS in Ohio on two humongous jobs. One was 700 square miles, another was 500. And something does happen, like a Vibe backs into a gate or bends a culvert or something like that. They're quick to fix it and react. They really are. It makes my job a lot easier. Unfortunately, there's people in the industry that, or companies in the industry that don't do so good on follow-up like that. I want the county to know that my phone number and Doug's phone number, and I'll give you Dave's too, maybe use his first. If something happens during or after the survey pops up, reach out to us and we'll take care of it. We don't want anybody upset, and we don't want anything hanging out there. So don't forget that. You give me a number. let's see. We got the barn. They know we're working with the tribe and the special interest group, the BIA. And anything else on this one we need to talk about, guys?
Thank you. Good. Okay.
I'm running out of slides. I'll do some last one.
Thank you.
That's it. That's all. So, any questions, or do you want to do it again?
I think we're in pretty good shape, Roy. I think your guys' last production over there, without my knowledge, any complaints at all.
John?
We didn't have any complaints at all to us that I'm aware of, and I don't know of any from Duchesne County, so I think you guys are doing a good job. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
What we're going to need to do, though, is make sure that we have some sort of contract that will bounce you using our roads and whatever you've got there.
Okay.
Yeah, we have one before.
Yes.
So we should be able to.
Yeah, you can add the language and we modify it.
Let's turn your light on to National Road.
And so as far as using the roads, I'm not looking into the contract for that. But the contract that I was just handed, we'll want to give it to Matt. This is for the Gusher landfill. I don't know that there's anything out there that would be too much damage. And I appreciate your transparency that, you know, damage is minimized, the technology is improved to minimize that, but it does still occur. I appreciate that kind of transparency. In some of the limitations of liability that you have here in this agreement, and again, this is for a landfill, so I don't know what's around that. That's a better question for Matt. But a big part of it is that any damage does need to be reasonably documented. So do you have processes in place to inform the county where you're working and when, to coordinate with the county so that we can go and perform any inspections to make sure that it is reasonably documented?
Yeah, that's a good point. We absolutely do. We start out with a grid, we call it a pre-plot, and then after we get it surveyed, we have what we call a post-plot, so we know exactly where we went, and we can pretty much pin it down what day we went there. So we'll provide a map to the county that shows exactly where we went, and we can communicate. Last year, I communicated a lot with Scott, the road supervisor, on the roads, where we were going, and maybe on the landfill, we need to communicate directly to the commissioners or someone else when we go out there to do the work. But we have a system in place, you know, to document any damages. We deal with them immediately. The crews are, they have meetings every morning, so committees, and they're required to report where they're going, so we know where they're going, and damage occurs, and they're required to document it, and we keep up their own spreadsheet if it's on a road or it's on the landowners, and we get that information and we deal with it immediately. So the process is in place. Very good question.
Yeah, thank you. And so I would just recommend, along with that, as you were talking, I recognize, okay, landfill, it's, you know, a bunch of garbage, not much you can hurt, but scales can be pretty sensitive, right? And so we just want to be aware of coming in and checking those things.
That's your bad word.
Oh, is it?
It is not an active word. This is the only one we have in Uinta County.
So then this part, I think there's little to no concern on it.
Exactly.
And what we did on Duchesne County, Counselor, if you're interested or you want to know, we added some language to this permit on some of their fee lands that addresses what we're going to do on the road, and also some language addressing that we're responsible for any damages might occur and reporting in and things like that. So there's an exhibit fee on the back of the permit, and down at the bottom under special conditions, there's an area that we can add that language. So we did that in Duchesne County, and actually their attorney was the ones that kind of recommended adding it to that permit. So welcome to do that. It kind of mentioned the bond was in place and that we were to keep the bond in place during the project operations and then afterwards for a period of time. And then also a certificate of liability insurance was to be left in place during the operations and if needed afterwards too. So we could do that with this permit too if you wanted to.
Yeah, I would appreciate seeing the language that they added here. There are some ways that you're limiting liability, and if they were able to get some red lines that everybody already agreed to, then maybe we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We can just look at what you've done there. But I do think that the biggest thing we can do is just make sure that we're taking a look at things after the work's done.
Sure.
Make sure that,
yeah, you know, we have an app that we could use, you know, and glad to do it with someone from the county. If the county has maybe Scott or another representative that they want to use when the project is completed, you know, we could put the post plot grid on my phone or his phone. It's there's an app called Avenza, and you can drive right to the point and look exactly where you went. You could go out to the landfill and drive around out there and see where they worked and where they, you know, didn't. And then we could do it, you know, as we go. You know, maybe say if they do one road, Scott has time, or whoever the county representative is wants to meet, we could go out there and inspect that road and put the thumbs up, you know. So anything like that, the technology is there. I'm glad to do it.
Very good, thank you. And that takes care of my concerns. And if you don't mind sending that language over, we'd appreciate that as a follow-up.
You want to send me an email maybe or something?
Yeah.
And then I'll have your contact information, and I'll make sure I copy all you guys on anything we do, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good to meet you, Roy.
Yes, good to meet you, too, sir. Dressed up very nice today, huh?
That's right, court day.
My only concern is last year when you were doing that, it shook all the paint off my house, so my house needs to be repainted. Can you handle that for me?
I knew something was coming. I just didn't know what it was.
Well, thank you a lot. Appreciate it, Royce. Gentlemen.
Thank you guys
thank
for having
you.
Us here. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
Have a great day.
All right. Collection management policy. Museum of Uinta County collection 002. Boy, Karen, you have changed your looks since yesterday.
I know, it's my day off, so here I am, I almost forgot. I'm in my garden close.
You're fine.
So she just wanted me to talk about the museum's collection management policy. I think she sent the commissioners everything it's been through. I think the commissioners approved it. It's been through our board. They said it's okay. Legal's been through it. I think she's presenting it at the next commission meeting. Oh, on the 21st. It will be on that meeting. So
there,
if there's any questions.
This is not chambered.
I know.
And what the policy does for the museum, it helps protect the museum staff volunteers by clearly documenting how we handle sensitive and awful legal situations. Especially when it comes to the NACRA Act, unclaimed loans, unclaimed, unidentified donations, that kind of stuff. Anything over $1,000 requires commission approval to deaccession. So far, I haven't come across anything that much I want to get rid of for that amount. So she's just putting it out there saying, month it on the 21st of June.
Has she changed that to where we'll look for next kin if they're deceased? Do you know, that was my only suggestion. We're a small community, and pretty much everybody has a clue on who might own it.
The problem, sometimes the problem with the next kin, if it's a high dollar item that was donated and they used it as a tax write-off, then the family has to claim it back.
Good.
That's tax.
But we give them their option, right?
So we try to give options. Yes.
Yeah.
That is not a standard thing in museum collections.
Correct. I realize that. But we are in the state of
Yeah. Not that we get rid of a lot of stuff.
No. I can remember a couple pages, but not very, very much at all. So.
It was mostly farm implements.
It was.
Shovels, rakes, hoes, could you only do a couple?
Yeah. So. I think one was a horseshoe even.
Oh, lots of horseshoes.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. You're up, Bill. Proposed policy changes to policies 203, 4, 5, 40, and 250. Hey, Char.
Okay, I'm back.
We noticed.
These ones are going to be quick and I think pretty simple because there aren't significant changes. So I guess we'll start with just kind of some renumbering. I'm pulling some of the 300s into the 200s. And as we go, I'll kind of specify which ones I'm moving. The intent will be that the 200 series will be like employment and workforce life cycle, so it will include some more policy that it didn't before. Okay, so the first one is policy 203, was or is currently 230 and 240. So we had two separate policies, voluntary resignation, and then a separate policy, which is now 240 for reduction in force. The proposed recommendation is to just combine those together and call the policy separation from employment. Not anything substantially changed here, except for combining the two of them. Outside of that, it was just kind of a cleanup on those. The next one would be 204, volunteers and agents. This is currently policy 340. Nothing substantially new here either. We expanded fingerprint background checks to include volunteers working not only with children, but also if we had any working with vulnerable adults or handling county funds. And then I also swapped and updated some legal references to a Data Protection Act, which I believe was likely intended to be grandma, but now is specified as grandma. Policy 205, which merges current policy 320 and 330. This is position classification and review. Currently, there are two separate policies. I recommend we put them together as one. A couple of changes on this one. The legacy policy breaks has classification for part-time employees under two different definitions. So current policy says that there's a part-time employee that's working at least 30 hours a week and is benefit eligible. And then there's a part-time classification that is working 20 hours, but 20 hours or less and is not benefit eligible. The recommendation would be to combine these for clarity. So we would have the full-time classification that would be 40 hours, typically 40 hours, but not less than the average of 30. And then one part-time classification that would be employees typically working 20 for budgetary purposes because most are budgeted at their 20-hour work week, but not less than 30. The recommendation is so that we align just with ACA guidelines, the Affordable Care Act, which classifies it as 30 for benefit eligible.
Did you say less than, not less than, or not more than?
So it would be not more than 30 okay. for, I might have screwed it up.
You did.
Okay. You did. A lot of things. Okay, and then the other change to that would be to expand the time of work for seasonal roles past the 90 days. So current legacy policy says temporary and seasonal employees may only work for 90 days total to be under that classification. But the IRS has guidelines that also align with the ACA that allow seasonal roles to work up to 6 months. So I think expanding that seasonal classification will definitely support our departments that have seasonal roles, so Buckskin Hill, Snow Hill, facilities with yard work, and allowing those employees to stay past 90 days if the season or the job requirements support that. And that's all of it for that one. With this group, I've got policy 240, which was the reduction in force that we put in with another one. So the recommendation there is to delete that in full. And then I also have included policy 250, the current policy, which is a union-free work environment. This one's a landmine of compliance issues. The recommendation would be to also eliminate that policy in full and pretend we never had it.
I can't do that.
Could you read it?
Well, I can say, we don't need it. We can't read it. We don't have it. Nice try. But yes, I know where you're coming from.
Okay. All right. And that's that on those.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And thank you. Nice job. People with brains sitting next to you, right? So on the reduction in force,
yes.
I can see potential problems with paragraph 3. Let's see. No, it's 3 under 203.6, reduction in force.
Okay.
And it's just the calculation for retention scores, right? And I just wonder, you've been in the statutes for this and things. Is there flexibility on that? And I wonder how much the commissioners would want direct input on that calculation. If you get to the point where you're doing a reduction in force, you know, how much do you want to consider merit versus tenure, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the balance that you're looking at. And right now it looks heavily weighted toward tenure. And so you could end up, you know, I could see that being a point of contention if you get to that day when the economy's down and you're needing to make some moves. Does it need to be that way, or is that something that they should look at?
That's a good question. I'll need to look and then get back, because I'm not 100% sure. This was legacy policy. I think it is laid in statute. I don't know if the point system that's been allocated is statute or legacy. So I will, let me look.
And if I'm not mistaken, you've got a situation there where, regardless of merit, if someone has enough tenure, they're staying over. And so I just recommend maybe even delaying this one a bit, and that you give direct input on that. If you go to reduce force and you're keeping the non-performers, that's a rough one to go through. I've been in that situation, so just my advice on that. You have a bunch of department heads fighting to keep the people that get the most done, and then you're in a point where you're dealing with legal issues.
That's that seniority thing.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
seems to come in.
Yeah, and I think you could just have a better balance and weight performance higher than what it's.
Yeah, let me look. I'll pull statute today and see, and then we can go from there. We can definitely pause on it. I think it might be statutorily required, but I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. So, what is that?
I don't think it is. I think that merit would be the determining factor. They were tied.
And the statute might just say that the county has to develop a plan for a RIF and then give the authority to the county to determine.
And I think that would even be better. This is going to handcuff you quite a bit, though, where there's lots of situations where you wouldn't be able to use it as a tiebreaker because, you know, you've got
people. Yeah, because you've got employees that have been here for 25 years.
Yeah, and their points would put so much weight on the one side of the scale, it doesn't matter how much merit is on the other side of the scale. Mm-hmm. So that.
Yeah, okay, I'll look at it. Anything else? Okay, that's it for me.
Yeah, good statement. We're adjourned.